I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson the Secret 2. I am joined by one of my favourite doctors, that's for certain. Dr. Alex, how are you, Petal?
Hey, thank you so much. I'm very well. I've had a cup of tea, freshened up, yet checked up the ingredients of the woo-woo, which does contain cranberry juice, schnapps and vodka, so you're right. There you go.
I honestly acted like, oh, I think it might be this, but I fucking lost them all. I knew.
You knew.
Alcohol would definitely be like my mastermind subject.
There you go. You know, you do well there.
Can I ask, is it true? Is there any science behind the on a hot day you should have a hot drink thing?
That's absolutely true. I mean, I'm sat here now with a cup of tea. So the way, what happens is that some of the thermoreceptors, so kind of temperature receptors. I've just spent a lot of time studying. The thing is, people always think you're clever for these things, but if you spend a lot of time learning about a particular area, like the body, you know, you're going to know more. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things. Like, doctors aren't necessarily that clever. It's just spending time. You're very kind, though.
But
it's basically thermoreceptors are in your throat. They measure the temperature, basically, right, and they regulate your body temperature, or part of the reason you're body's regulating its temperature. So when you drink something hot, it tricks those thermoreceptors to thinking, gosh, the body is really hot, and therefore the body tries to cool down. If you have an ice cream or something cold, the throat and the thermoreceptors think that it's cold and try and heat the body up. So actually, you're better off having a hot cup of tea in the sunshine than you are an ice cream.
Oh my God. Do you know, I've heard that saying said to me a million years by various like relatives and stuff. And I've always just thought, fuck off.
It's true.
But hearing the science.
It's true. They've proved that on Mythbusters. I'm pretty sure that was one of the things that they looked at. Yeah.
Eh, well, I best swap me little Oasis for a cup of tea next time.
There you go.
So you first burst onto our screens a good few years ago now in the reality TV juggernaut that is Love Island. And since then, your feet haven't touched the ground. You've been super busy. You went straight back to work for the NHS, which is an incredibly inspirational move by you. And I'm not going to bore you because I know you've probably talked to death about your experience on Love Island, but you've got to be grateful to it to a certain extent because of all the amazing things you're doing now, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I love my time. And I think there was highs and lows. It's very, you know how it is. It could be really challenging being in front of the camera. For me, what was hard is I had no background experience in that world at all. It was literally going from someone who doesn't use social media, doesn't really do any of that stuff at all, 200 followers to like, bam, like, whoa, in front of the whole screen. And I think I was very naive. I didn't really think about it too. Like, I did think about it a lot. I had a lot of thought about whether to go on the show, and that was a huge thing I was thinking about for a long time. But I didn't really think about what it would be like or what would happen afterwards. And I thought I'd be on there for like a fortnight. Yeah, I just thought I'd get like a week or so and I'm back in A&E, no worries. I didn't expect to come out with like a million followers and all this kind of stuff. But you know, it was an amazing experience, and I think the best thing I did, you know, you mentioned going back, that was the best thing I ever did, because going back to A&E kept me grounded. I didn't lose that sense of who I am. And people asked me, why were you tempted just to like live, you know, a different life? And I was like, well, the thing is, for me, like, since I was 12 years old, I wanted to be a doctor. I trained all the way, and I'd been focusing this goal from 12 to, at the time, 27 years old, you know, on one career. You don't just walk away from that when you spent that time. And so, of course, I was never going to go back to be full-time all the time in A&E. I've got lots of other things that I'm doing now, which I'm very lucky for. But yeah, I love having that balance. And, you know, I've been out of A&E actually for a couple of weeks now. I've had a bit of a break after working throughout the whole pandemic without a break. You know, and I needed that time to actually focus on the role and the work I'm doing. But, you know, I love it and I'll always go back. Like, I really enjoy it.
Bless you. You are so passionate about it, which I think obviously just seeps through and is so lovely. But there are so many people, and this is not me being like in any way, shape or form derogatory, because I've done reality TV for around 10 years now. And I am quite keen to make a change and start to do different things. I want to be recognised as a TV presenter and stuff like that. And I've realised that if I do want to be recognised...
You're doing amazing at it. You're a really good presenter and you're doing well at it. So, yeah, keep going.
Thank you, Al. I'm going to blush. But no, I feel like in order to be recognised in that, like, I can't be doing any more reality TV, so I have kind of closed the door on it for now anyway. But yeah, for years I didn't use my platform for good, Al. I didn't. I used it to do all of the things that, all of the cliched things that people joke about, you know, to sell teeth whitening or to get a discount code for clothes. And again, I'm not being derogatory, it's still a huge part of how I make my money. But for you, you instantly came out of Love Island and used your platform to do something super responsible and positive. Was that always your goal, or was that just something that happened organically?
Well, I think, well, two things. First of all, I think, you know, you probably don't give yourself enough credit. I think for as long as I can remember, certainly many years, you've been actually promoting body positivity. I think you show both sides of your life. I don't think you kind of create a glistened Instagram, you know, not that you don't look beautiful on Instagram, but you don't, you know, show this kind of overly deliberately put, like, chin picture. I love those pictures. You're just like, you know what, like, that's fine. Like, that's your body. And it's, and I think you really portray yourself in a great way on there. And I think that's brilliant. In terms of, like, when I came off the show, I think I kind of had this, I didn't really plan it. So I had this following. I was like, what do I do with this? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm quite an introvert. I'm not confident to go to clubs and do all that kind of, you know, PA stuff, which is fine that people do that. But for me, I wouldn't be confident to do that. And I thought, well, actually, you know, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I actually love teaching. I love, like, teaching med students when I was doing. I loved it at university, like, teaching. And I thought, well, do you know what? Let's use the platform and educate. Let's put stuff, positive stuff on the platform about well-being, about self-care. Let's show the front line. Let's, you know, show what people are doing in A&E. And it just happened. And of course I do ads and stuff. Of course I work with brands as you do. But as I see that you do now, I mean, as you were saying before, really, you know, and we obviously we work with brands, you know, that's how, you know, the only way I can fund being able to not get paid as a youth mental health ambassador or not be paid for the content or charitable work I do is by earning money through working with brands or corporates, whatever. So I have a rule where I basically only work with brands that I either use the product or I really think that it has a benefit to other people, or, you know, if I can work with a car brand, brilliant, because I love cars. Like, if it just reflects who I am, it's perfect. So yeah, I have really strict rules of that. And of course, I mean, you must get loads, but there's so many brands I turn down because I'm like, no, I don't want to promote that. I don't believe that. I think that's harmful or whatever. And I'm really, really, I think, strict to those rules. So yeah, it's a balance, isn't it? You know, we have to make money. We have to earn a living. But it's about doing things in a way that you feel like, actually, I feel a sense of reward. Like, I'm sure you, I don't have words in mouth, but, you know, I'm sure you feel really great when you think, you know, I posted something that's gone and really helped someone. Someone's going to see that today and think, you know, I feel better about myself.
For me, and I don't know, like, what the version of this is for you, I imagine it's something very similar, but for years, obviously, I was not role model material. And for loads of mothers who maybe's watched Geordie Shore when their kids went to bed or something, like, it was harrowing, the idea that their child would grow up like me, their little girl would grow up swearing and shouting and bed hopping and all the rest of it. And since, like, sort of the last 5 years, obviously the image that I'm cultivating now, the person I'm becoming, I really endeavour to, like you say, show the good and the bad, the light and the dark, normal bodies and all the rest of it. And when someone writes underneath my post, like, I'm going to show my little girl this, honestly, Al, it's all I can do not to cry, mate, because I think I'm finally becoming the person I really want to be.
Well, you're such an, I think the other thing with you, you're so honest as well. And I think, do you know what frustrates me as well? I think everyone pretends that they live, like, a perfect life, and there's no such thing as someone's holier than that. We've all made mistakes, done things we regret, and think, oh gosh, I look back on that and think, God, that was stupid. Like, you know, and I think, you know, look at when I was on Love Island, you know, I got really badly burnt and stuff. And, you know, in my slight defense, I was on medication that made me really, really sensitive to the sun. But I still was like, God, like, I'm a doctor. I shouldn't have ever allowed that to happen. Yeah. You know, like, with people, and I'm a role model and people are seeing that. So, you know, we've all made mistakes, and all you can do in life is learn from them and pick yourself up and move on. And I think, you know, you're doing a great job. So don't be too hard on yourself.
Bless you. I wear me. You got a little bit of sunburn. I called the entire cast cunts. So I think I've got the monopoly on growth.
Okay, fair.
Right, so we can't ignore the fact that Love Island is starting soon. And you've absolutely smashed your time on there. Like, I say this as a fan of the show and a fan of reality TV and a fan of yours long before you were a friend. Like, you were wonderful on that. Like, struck this amazing balance between, like, incredibly honest and open and endearing and, like, oh, you wore your heart on your sleeve and it was absolutely lush to see. So I want to know if you have any advice for the cast of Love Island 2021.
It feels so long ago now, doesn't it? But I kind of roll back and I think, do you know, the biggest thing is such a cliche thing, but I think, you know, you can't go on screen and not worry about the cameras, because you always do. And anyone says that, I don't, you know they're there. But I think the most important thing is to genuinely try and relish every moment, just enjoy every moment, because you're being part of something so unique. I mean, it's so, not many people get to go and do that. Just because even if you're on there for a couple of days, just soak it all and enjoy it. Try your best to be, you can't be completely natural and completely yourself, because there is a camera in front
of
you.
It's right? An alien concept, isn't it?
It's an alien concept, but as much as you can, stay true to your values, who you are. Don't try and be the loudest person in the room if you're not naturally the loudest person in the room. It's absolutely fine to be quiet. And I was very quiet. Be measured if you're measured. Just be yourself as much as you can and just make the most of it, because it is an amazing experience. And, you know, the other thing I would say as well, don't put pressure on yourself. People, you know, a lot of people, I want to be on there as long as possible and all this stuff. And of course, you know, I think my year was probably one of the last years where, you know, before it became so big, or my year became so big, that people now, they go on it because they know they're going to become really well known. And if you're going on it now, you're not purely going on it for love, because you know you're going to become pretty famous afterwards if you're on there for a length of time. But I think it's very important not to put that pressure on yourself that I have to be on there for ages. Just go and enjoy it. And also for anyone, I guess, that might be joining later, or, you know, they haven't gone in yet, I think it's just being sure that it's what you want to do, because it's an amazing, amazing show. But, you know, just be happy that you can go back to your job if things don't, you know, if you're not on there that long or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes there's so much pressure. I've got to go on there, be massive, and I come off and that's the life made now. And I don't think that's actually true. And I think I've worked harder than I ever have in my life after coming off the show. It's not been easier, it's been harder, if that makes sense. And I'm sure I know that you'll understand that as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I think, like, although, listen, and I always say this, like, I'm hardly fucking down the mains. I'm not frontline NHS. Being a reality TV star or someone in our line of work, like, it's the same as anything else. Like, it works out if you work hard. Like, yes, you get lucky breaks, and yes, you can be in the right spot at the right time, and God, it helps if you're naturally gorgeous or whatever for your deals, but ultimately, like, if you're kind, if you're always on time, if you're polite, if you say yes to jobs rather than, like, oh no, I'd rather be on holiday, then it will work out for you. So I think that's really important to think as well.
Absolutely.
Like, even if you do
work
get
hard.
Even if you do get this good opportunity, be sure you're grateful and grab it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's very good advice.
You are actively campaigning for more NHS faces on the next series of Love Island, aren't you, son?
Well, I think, you know, I was asked this before, and I think it's very important that we represent everyone in society. And I think, you know, I mean that from background, diversity, everything. And I think it's great if we have someone from the NHS or some people from the NHS on there, because, you know, when I went on the show, it was a huge, like, oh my gosh, there's a doctor on there and stuff. And actually, why can't doctors be on TV? Why does it matter if doctors have relationships and stuff like that? We all have relationships, right? We all have, you know, interactions with other people. And I think it's actually a good thing, I think, to have them on there. And whether it's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, physio, paramedic, whatever it is, I think it would be quite a nice thing, personally.
Yeah, well, I just agree with you in general that I feel like I would love to see more diversity across the board on Love Island, whether that be body shape, whether that be skin colour, whether that be occupation. Like, I want to have my face booted off with diversity. Yeah. I really do want to be like, yes, everybody is here in Magaluf and I am so excited about it.
It doesn't, it's just good. I think it's good, you know, because especially even to have a body image, like, you know, on the year that I was, that we were on, and Jack won't mind me saying this because, you know, he's a good friend of mine. He wasn't necessarily ripped and whatever, but he won the show. Like, he won the show, you know, and I was, okay, I worked very hard and I, we'll talk about it shortly, I think, but, you know, I obviously, I trained really hard to be in better shape because I felt I had to be that way. Yeah. But now I'm like, do you know what? We should just be normal. Like, no one walks around, or not very many people walk around with like ripped abs all the time. Yeah. That's living in the gym. That's not real life, you know. No. That isn't real life, and that doesn't represent health either. Like, you don't have to have abs and be all like that to be a healthy person or to be a fit person either, you know.
Honestly, I couldn't agree with you more. And I look back, and like you say, we're going back to my Instagram here, and I post an awful lot of these before and after pics on my Instagram. And actually, when I'm at my skinniest, as I was around 5 years ago, about a size 6, about 8 stone, which was far, in my opinion, far too light for my frame. I looked like I had a massive, great big head. Anyway, I look back and I'm miserable. Alex, like, I am miserable. There's not one picture you can find of me at that size where I am grinning from ear to ear, where I'm having a nice time, where I'm feeling grateful. I mean, predominantly probably because I'm fucking hungry, apart from anything else. Yeah. But other than that, like, I was so obsessed with this really thin aesthetic that I wasn't living at all. And you've talked about your experience with your extreme regime that you used to get into shape for Love Island, haven't you? And it was something similar, right?
Yeah, I mean, I because what happened was, I, you know, because I didn't apply for the show. Most people apply the year before, 12 months before. They approached me in kind of February. So I literally had like 21, 22 weeks before I was going on there. And I thought, oh my gosh. And, you know, I was actually quite fit. I'd cycled to work. I was, there's nothing wrong with my shape at all. But I felt this extreme pressure to kind of get in shape. Yeah. And, you know, I thought, gosh, what am I going to do? So I trained so hard. Like, I trained like 2 hours a day. I really restricted diet.
On top of being a doctor full time as well?
I worked ridiculous hours. I didn't do anything other than work, train, and eat not very much, you know. And it wasn't a good thing. And I actually, when I went on the show, I was like, even though I was in the show, I was like, I don't feel good about it. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. And actually, when I came off the show and I thought, do you know what, this isn't good for you. It's not sustainable. I went back to more balanced diet, a balanced exercise plan. And I felt so much better for it. And I think I look back now, and it's easy to kind of say now, I guess, you know, as someone that I wouldn't be going back on the show, but I kind of wish I hadn't done all that.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I'd have, I think it's good to, of course, I promote as a doctor, I promote exercise, I promote good, you know, balanced eating, but I shouldn't have been on a restrictive diet. I should have, you know, but it comes down to being happy with you, who you are, be comfortable in your own skin. And I think that's taken me time to do that, as a lot of people have, you know?
Yeah. I think, like, like you say, hindsight's a really brilliant thing, do you know what I mean? But honestly, if there's anybody out there listening who is going on the next series or wants to be a Love Island star, or even just thinks like, oh, everybody goes on Love Island just naturally looks like that, which I honestly believed for a little bit as well. I just thought, God,
they train so hard. I mean, so hard. I mean, if you think, you know, before the shoot day where, you know, I had like these ripped abs and I was pushing myself out of the swimming pool and I was in this shape, I 2 days before that, I was restricting my diet, hardly eating anything other than just protein to cut my weight down. I mean, I look back, I think, wow, like, that was not good for you. You know, fine, it brought my abs out a bit more, but like, it just not good for you. And I think you just, that is not real life. That is not what people want, you know, or need. You don't need to walk around like that all the time. And it's just not sustainable. I'd rather, honestly, have a balanced life and go on a Friday night and have a pint or two in the pub with my mate, and I would, you know, avoid social scenarios to train, which is what I had to do. And that's not knocking anyone that trains hard, anyone that wants to be in shape. I just think when it becomes a restrictive lifestyle and it prevents you from enjoying, and actually you're not happy and you don't feel good, that's often a sign, I think, to rethink, you know, what you're doing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love Island gets a really bad rep for kind of these unrealistic body images and stuff, and a lack of representation a lot of the time. And I look at like shows that I was on probably pre-Love Island, you know what I mean? Your things like X on the Beach and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember going into those situations, and I've always been a curvy girl, apart from obviously when I was deeply obsessed. And I remember sitting and watching all these gorgeous girls who were like probably about 5-10 years younger than me look incredible, and it got to us. It made me feel insecure, but it wasn't that it never had those insecurities before. It just exacerbated my already existing insecurities. And I think do you think it's fair to say that Love Island can do that to young women and men?
I think this is the concern, and I think that's why it's so important. I hope, and I really do hope, that we'll just see so much more diversity in body type this year, because I think it promotes the right message. And I hope, you know, the important thing is for people to be honest. If you've trained ridiculously hard to be in that shape, I think be honest about that and share the fact that you've trained hard. So I think, you know, pages I see people in very good shape, they say, look, I spend this amount of time in the gym. This is what I stick to do it. Not because you're promoting to do it other people, but you're being honest about it. I just don't like the idea when some accounts you'll see people being like, oh, look at me eating this Mars bar and eating all this crap. That's not true. You know, be honest about what you're doing at least. So I think that's what it is. I think it's being open and transparent. And I think when it comes to Love Island, let's just see this diversity. Of course, let's see some people with abs, because there are people in society who are like that, and that's fine. But let's not paint a picture that is the whole representation. And I think that's what really matters. And I do genuinely think ITV have done so much in the last year or so to kind of start moving in that direction. Let's see. I don't know, and I haven't seen the cast. So I just hope that, you know, that is the case.
Oh no, I'm with you. I've got high hopes. I think we're gonna have the face booted off with diversity, and I'm over the moon. I'm buzzing like an old fridge, Al. I cannot wait. Are you going to be watching?
I will be watching it. So I mean, you know, there's a lot going on at the moment. I probably won't catch every episode, but I certainly will. It's like memories, isn't it? I watch it to bring back some fun memories, and it's escape. At the end of the day, Love Island is an escapism. Escapist programs. It's just like watching something that is just allows you to zone out, just to relax. The world doesn't matter, and you just laugh and you enjoy, or you smile, or you think, oh, I like that person, or whatever. And I just that's what I like about it. It's just escapism.
It's a good show, and I think we're in for a good summer. But I'm totally with you, mate. Like, I missed all of last year. Like, obviously, my life, no summer holidays, no barbecues with family and friends, like, no nights at the pub, no beer gardens. So there's absolutely no way I'm getting as invested as I was in your year. I can't be rushing home from the pub because 9 o'clock and Love Island's about to start. I can't
do
it myself.
People did that, didn't they? Yeah. People rushed home. Did you do that? Did you rush home?
Babe, I'm that much of a sad cow. Like, I, even though I had it recorded, I was like, no, I have to say it live so I can talk to my mates in the group chat about it. That's who I am.
That's hilarious. No, I mean, I get it. Now, to be fair, the year before mine, so like Chris and Kem's year, I was like that. I actually loved it. I really enjoyed the show for that reason. I got really into it. Everyone says, I don't like it. Then you find out, like, say, I feared, like, men go, I don't watch it. The wife would go, look, that he's lying. He watched the whole series. It's hilarious. I always love that. When people go, oh, mate, can I get a picture? I've never watched the show. And then they go, the wife goes, oh, don't listen to him. I just think that's so funny. People just pretend they don't.
Honestly, I don't know why they pretend. We all love Love Island. It's a juggernaut, and we're pleased it's back. So before I let you go, Dom, because I know you're a super busy man, I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you so much for being a guest. You've been wonderful.
Oh, thank you for having me, honestly. Thank you very much. Honestly, you're amazing, and this podcast is it's a really positive space, and you're doing really well, and long may it continue.
Thank you, babes. Oh, that's what I mean. You're just like a hug. Okay, so next thing. Before I let you go, all of my lovely guests here at Vicky Patterson The Secret 2 divulge a couple pearls of wisdom for our gorgeous listeners. And listening to you talk, it's so obvious that you're passionate about a number of things, but I think the profound thing that stands out for me is how you feel about mental health. You're, of course, a mental health ambassador now, and I want to know what your secret is to a healthy mind.
Well, I think, you know, in this age at the moment, or at least in the time we're in at the moment, coming out of this pandemic, I think it's so hard for people knowing, like, are we, like, in restrictions? What's my life now? Am I in the office? Am I at home? People are working from home, and I think so many people have lost their routine. They lost their work-life balance. And I think creating structure is very important. And I think making sure that you're doing things each day that actually make sense in terms of your well-being, that you're actually investing in yourself. Yeah. And what I say about well-being is it's an investment in yourself so you can feel happier, healthier, and be more successful in your life. So some of the things that I would say is, number one, create routine. Know what time you get up each day. Mm-hmm. Know what time you go to bed each day. Make sure you're getting a good night's sleep. We talked about it earlier, how important a good night's sleep is. If you're getting up at 7 a.m. and say you're starting work 8:30, whatever it is, try and have the first half an hour of your day not on your phone. Often people open their phone, look on their phone straight away, see the latest BBC news, latest thing, and it stresses you out. In the morning, you're a blank piece of paper. Get up, have your coffee, move, go outside for your walk, whatever it is, start the day in that positive space. On the point of walks, it's really, really great to get outside in the morning, get sunlight. When you get sunlight in the morning, or even if it's a cloudy day, it helps set your circadian rhythm. So your circadian rhythm is your sleep cycle. And basically, when you get sunlight in the morning, it tells your brain, this is morning, which means 12, 14 hours from now, it's bedtime. And it helps you set that cycle. In your day, whether you're busy, you're at home or at work, try and make sure you get outside for a walk, get some space, some natural sunlight, have a break from your office, from your desk. And then, you know, exercise-wise, do things you enjoy, like find a bit of exercise you enjoy. Try if you can do a little bit each day or every other day is absolutely fine. Another big tip, when we talk about my final tip, I guess, just speaking broadly around self-care, you know, I love a bath bomb. Okay, you know this. I started my bath bomb company just crying for this exact reason. I love a bath bomb. And the reason I have a bath bomb is because it's my way to unwind, to say, I'm chilling out, I'm doing this for me, sitting in a bath, putting a podcast on, listening to Vicky Patterson on the podcast.
And unwinding
and unwinding. And you can say, well, Alex, I don't like bath bombs. That you're wrong, but that's absolutely fine. Just do whatever you want to do in your time. Do one thing each day that is genuinely for you, whether that's listening to music, going for a walk, doing yoga, playing with your dog, or, you know, whatever it is, playing guitar, whatever it is, reading a book. Do one thing each day that's genuinely for you, and you will feel the benefit for that. And like anything in life, if you commit to something, you do it regularly, you stick to this routine, stick to the plan, you'll feel better for it.
Honestly, babe, that is such good advice. My life coach has this thing, and he says, before you let like any outside influences into your mind in the morning, like, you have to build your own walls. So build your defences, because throughout the day, people are going to throw things at you, whether it's a nasty comment on Instagram, whether it's a traffic that you're stuck in that makes you run late, whether it's you don't have your favourite thing at the deli. There are going to be things thrown at you that stress you out. But if you have had that hour in the morning where you've done the things that make you feel good, whether that's having a sunrise yoga session, drinking a green juice, whether it's playing with your dog, whatever, like you say, you're better equipped to deal with them.
Yeah.
I am so
the person
who rolls out of bed and picks up our phone straight away, but you've just reminded us to be better. I am not going to do that tomorrow morning.
It's easily done, but it makes a huge difference. You are that. Think of yourself in the morning as the blank piece of paper. Why put why put negativity straight in front of you first thing in the morning? And you might not. You might see something positive, but why risk it? Get up in the morning, do your morning, you have your green juice, do your walk, a bit of exercise, whatever it is you do in the morning to kind of set your day, then pick up your phone, then start your day.
There he is. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Alex, an absolute breath of fresh air. I'm going to arrange to see you soon because I want to meet Paddington and I want to drink woo-woos with you.
We'll do some woo-woos. Thank you so much for having me, honestly.
Love you, babes. Thank you.
Love you.
Well, guys, that was The Secret 2 with the lovely Dr. Alex. And if you didn't love him before, I bet you fucking love him now, don't you? What a guy. Honestly, I mean it when I say it. His voice just feels like a hug through the mic. Such a lovely person. And honestly, I am now so fired up about the new series of Love Island. If you are loving listening to Vicky Patterson The Secret 2 as much as I'm loving making it, then please do all of the normal podcasty things. You're probably bored of hearing me say them by now, but I mean it. If you can tell your mates, if you can leave a review, if you can just do anything you can to spread the word about our little baby podcast, that would be great. Have a fantastic week, everybody.